Federal scientists discovered the battered remains of two whaling ships near Wainwright in the Chukchi Sea this fall. The ships are believed to be from 1871, when 33 ships were trapped by sea ice. All 1,200 whalers stranded in that event were rescued, but it was a low point for the Yankee whaling industry. Brad Barr is a NOAA archaeologist who led the expedition to find the ships using sonar to map the seafloor. Barr says the ships are weathered, but still recognizable as wreckage.
In other words, they are big wooden beams, sheathing of the hulls. We see the bolts that held the keel to the frame of the vessel, and we found a number of artifacts like anchors and pieces of rigging and pieces of the triworks that was used to boil down the blubber that they were collecting from the whales.
Were you surprised that there was anything left, given the fact that they were in fairly shallow water?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, you know, that every year for 140 years, the ice is formed, the ground ice is formed in the shallow waters adjacent to the beaches in the Chukchi. And every year that ice that's right down to the bottom moves around with the storms and the winds. And so if you think about that and you think about something that's on the bottom and then all of that big, tons and tons of ice that's sitting on top of it moving around with the storms and the winds, you would expect that there wouldn't be anything there.
How valuable are these ships to archaeologists such as yourself? What's the value here?
The value lies in knowing that something there, so that when things are proposed that may disturb those archaeological resources, that those activities can happen without disturbing the archaeological integrity of those sites.
So, Mr. Barr, talk about the history here. How did these ships get stuck in the ice?
In 1871, they had been coming to that area to whale for quite a number of years. The population of bowheads had been significantly reduced since 1848 when the first whalers came to the Arctic. And they were staying later and later in the year because they were finding fewer whales. So they were taking greater risks. And one of the risks was that they would get caught in the ice as the ice was forming. What happened was there was a wind shift that occurred pretty regularly, and it brought the sea ice into the shore. Now, normally, the wind would have shifted back, and there would have been a lead, and they could have sailed out. But it just so happened that particular year, the wind didn't shift back. The vessels were caught in the ice. Many of them were crushed in the ice in place. And because they realized that they weren't going to get out, the captains decided collectively that they would take the 1,219 people on board, including some of the captains' wives and children, and get into the smaller whaleboats, the smaller boats, and sail and row to a fleet of seven vessels that were waiting down past Icy Point to save them. You know, as a result, the loss of about 2/3 of those vessels were vessels from the New Bedford whaling fleet. If you do the monetary conversions of the actual cost of the loss to the New Bedford whaling industry, it was about $33.3 million. So it was quite a blow to the industry, and ultimately contributed to the demise of whaling by the Yankee fleets in the waters of the United States.
It seems astounding that no lives were lost during this incident. Did you find that also when you were doing this research? As you said, the ships were being crushed by the ice. Was it a surprise that there wasn't one life lost?
I think that's the most compelling part of the story. The fact that these, in this incredibly life-threatening situation, remember that they were in these small boats. You know, these boats were 20, 25 feet long. They were overloaded with people. because they were only meant to carry six or seven, and they were carrying, you know, 20 people or whatever, and they were, you know, dressed in only the clothes that they had on their back and the few personal possessions they could fit in, and so it was just amazing that nobody was killed as a result of this.
Brad Barr is an archaeologist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.